The Lord sent his great messenger Elijah to anoint a prophet to follow him. God chose someone ordinary. Elijah found Elisha, a nobody, plowing his father's field. And what was Elisha's response? He burned his plow and left everything he knew to answer God's call. Elisha, a tale of ridiculous faith.
Good morning. I'm so glad to see you today. Glad you could be here. Earlier, before Lent, I preached a series on Elijah. Today, we're going to follow up with a series on Elisha. We're going to see the relationship they had. Elijah was a mentor to Elisha. God called them both to serve, and Elisha followed Elijah, and he was faithful to him. Now, with that in mind, I want to share an opening story with you about something I thought was similar in what we're talking today about being faithful to God. There was a man named Hattusburah Euro, who was in the Tokyo. He was a professor at the Imperial University in the 1920s. And every afternoon, he would ride the commuter train back from the school where he worked, and his dog, Hachito, would be there to meet him every day at 3 o'clock. One day, he had a stroke while he was at work. It was a severe stroke, and the professor died. But the dog was there at the train station. He was waiting on his master to come. He waited around. He didn't see him. He stayed there for a while. When he didn't see him, he went home, and the widow of the professor took care of the dog. But the dog came back the next day at 3 o'clock. He was looking for his master. He came back the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and every day at 3 o'clock he would come. The people in the community heard about what had happened to the professor. They knew that the dog didn't understand where the professor was, so they would come and they started sitting with the dog so he wouldn't have to sit there by himself, waiting for the professor to come who would not be coming. He did that for 10 years. And those people faithfully waited with him during that time. Now, what I want us to see is that God calls you and me to a relationship. And when he calls us into a relationship, he is our master. He's our father. He's our savior. And what we want to do is be faithful to him. And we don't want to let anything interfere with the relationship that we have with him. We want to follow him daily. And so what I want us to see is Elisha wanted to follow God, and the way he did that was to follow Elijah. In fact, he didn't want to let Elijah out of his sight, and he knew that God was going to call Elijah home. And Elisha stayed there, right there with him. And then one day he said that he saw him whisked up to heaven in a chariot of fire. And Elisha choked out what he saw. My father, he said, the chariots of the horsemen of Israel. He literally watched Elijah go to heaven. And so when that happened, it was an amazing thing because what Elijah had done is he had put his cloak around Elisha. What he was saying is, the covering that's on me is going to be on you. The mantle of God that's on me is going to be on you. And he picked up that cloak and he wanted to see what would happen. And he had the power to part the waters just like Elijah had done in the Jordan River only moments earlier. And he asked, where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he struck the water parted as it done for his master. Now, it was a bittersweet day. Why? Because he looked up to and admired and appreciated and really held on to Elijah for his faith and in his relationship to learn what it meant for him to be a follower of God and do what Elijah had done. And now Elijah was taken to heaven, but now he was called. Now he was to do what God had called him to do. And today we're going to talk about ridiculous faith. Ridiculous faith is when you and I just put the past behind us and we leave it, and there's no way to go back, and we step forward into the future that God is calling us to move into. Now, when I was a kid growing up, I had a lot of monotonous jobs. First thing I did was I was cutting our grass all the time. The neighbor next door saw me. He said, "Hey, you want to cut my grass?" I said, "Sure." So the going rate at that time to cut the grass for somebody was $3. Okay, I get it. It was a long time ago. Get off of me, all right? So I go over and I cut this guy's grass, except it was different. Our grass was just mostly weeds. It was real easy to push that lawnmower. When I got in his grass, it was Bermuda grass, and it was hard to push. Excuse me. It was hard to cut that grass. And I worked, and I worked, and I worked. I was in elementary school, and I finally got through, and he handed me a $5 bill. And I was so excited. And I went home and told my mother, he gave me $5. She said, "Give him $2 back. It's only worth $3. I said, "You cut it next time." Okay, so then I had a neighbor across the street. And he said, "Hey, I need you to come over here and cut my grass." And I did it. And he said, "I want you to cut the weeds in the dog pen." And I did it for him. And he said, "I've noticed that you like to work." And I looked around to see if there was somebody else there, or if he was talking to me. He said, "I want to give you a job." I was 15 years old. He said, "I got a bunch of convenience stores. I want you to come up and you can start in my convenience store and you can work in the summer." He said, "I want you to work from 7 in the morning till 11 at night, 7 days a week." He said, "I'll pay you $1 an hour." The minimum wage was $1.65, but he said, "I'll pay you in cash, so you'll come out all right, okay?" Well, I said, "I can do that, but I can't work on Sundays. I have to take Sundays off because we go to church." He said, "Okay, you can take Sunday off." Now, that guy was not a Christian, but let me just say to you that I tried to be a witness to him, and years later, he got saved. And there was a Baptist preacher who witnessed to him, and he started going to that church, and he really, sure enough, got saved. In fact, he went into the ministry, and he became a preacher for years and years and years till he retired. And I went back, and I found him one time, and I saw him sitting there with that preacher, and I told him I was so happy to hear what had happened to him. And I was grateful, and I celebrated what God had done in his life. So it was a wonderful thing, and I worked there for him for some time in that convenience store. And then there was a guy that was in our church, and he was a great man. He was a great witness to me and everybody else. If you were in the youth group at our church, you could always get a job at his grocery store. He owned it. And other people in town worked for him. Great Christian witness. And so I would work for him. Now, back then, back in the day, we had bag boys. Bag boys had paper bags. And they would load up groceries on Fridays and Saturdays especially, just one after another. We would carry those groceries out to the car for the customer. I know this is before your time, but that's what we used to do, and we would just do one after another. And sometimes he would come up to us on Friday or Saturday, and then while we're bagging those groceries, he would get up and whisper in our ear. He said, "Hey, I'm a lay preacher, and I'm preaching out at such and such little church out in the country this Sunday. Would you like to take my place?" "No, sir, I'm fine. I'll just bag these groceries if it's all right with you." But he always would give us that opportunity. He was just sowing some seeds. And later on, there were 5 of us from the church that went into the ministry. 4 of us came down here to this area. Another guy who was a friend of ours came with us as well. We didn't know it was the promised land flowing with milk and honey, but that's where God brought us. What a blessing it was to do that. Now, in high school, I also, besides working at the grocery store, I had a buddy. We would haul hay on our day off. We were always looking for work. And then also, I've told you about being in the nursery business, and I would work, you know, loading those trees on those big trucks. Now, when I say that somebody would come in and buy a tree or there, we'd load the truck, I don't mean some sweet little old lady came in and said, "I'd like to buy one tree," and we put it in her pickup, okay? What I'm saying to you is that there were 18-wheelers, and usually it was over the Christmas break when I did a lot of this and when I was in college. And we had to load those 18-wheelers with these great big trees. They were balled up in burlap, the roots and everything. They were heavy. It was snowing outside. And we would do that. So we would sleep good at night. The last job I had before I went in the ministry I was the day cook at Hardee's. That's right. Would you like fries with that? I worked at Hardee's. I was cooking those burgers. Now, back then, they didn't do breakfast. I wish they had. But I cooked during the day, and they had lunch and dinner. And so I was cooking those burgers. And we had the busiest Hardee's in the state of Tennessee, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, right there by Middle Tennessee State University. And I was making it happen with those burgers there. Well, one day I got called into the ministry and I had an opportunity to come to Florida. I worked there for 10 months. I saw every employee come and go several times over except for one. It was one young woman named Belle. And Belle worked at the register, and Belle was a happy person. She was always on time. She was always in a good mood. She always got the order right, and customers loved her. She had found her niche. For all I know, she's still there today. I don't know. But she was faithful, and she worked there. Now, I told you all that fascinating information because what I'm talking about is monotonous jobs, just doing the same thing over and over again. And that's what Elisha was doing. He worked on the farm. He was plowing. He had some oxen, and that's what he did day in and day out. Now, what he did in that place there, I literally answered a call to the ministry standing over an open flame there at Hardee's and said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll even be a preacher." Now, I was just faithfully and obediently doing my job that I didn't really enjoy. You may be working at Hardee's and love it, not so much for me. But, you know, I called the manager. I said, "After I get off my shift, I need to talk to you." And he said, "Okay." We walked outside on the little patio. I said, "I'm giving you 2 weeks' notice." He was so shocked. He had been in the military. This was a second career for him. Nobody gave 2 weeks' notice back then. People just quit. They just didn't show up for their shift. But I never did do that. And I said, "I'll work for 2 more weeks. And then I'm moving to Florida, and I'm answering the call to the minister." He was impressed. He was impressed that I gave him 2 weeks' notice, and I told him my story. Well, then I moved to Florida and answered the call. Then I had to transfer to Huntington College in Montgomery, Alabama, changed my major to religion and philosophy. Laura and I were there one day, and her folks were in town. We went into a Quincy Steakhouse there in Montgomery. And that guy worked for Spartan Foods, and he had left Hardee's in Murfreesboro, and he was managing that Quincy Steakhouse in Montgomery, Alabama. And I went up to him, and I said, "Hey, do you remember me?" He said, "I do remember you." And I told him I answered the call, and now I'm going to Huntington. I'm working in a church. And he wished me well and had a good time visiting with him. Now, this biblical character that we're going to look at today, Elisha, he was a person that I could relate to because he was someone who was just doing a monotonous job, and God showed up one day and gave him an opportunity. Elijah was this bold prophet. He was daring and full of faith. Elisha wanted to be like Elijah, and so he was bold enough to ask God, "Would you give me a double portion of the anointing that's on Elijah? Would you put that on me?" And God gave it to him. Elisha actually performed more recorded miracles in Scripture than anyone else except Jesus. Now, what's interesting about this guy is he was very ordinary, living at home, working on the farm, when God called him to do something incredible. Now, he lived in the 9th century B.C. when Israel was divided. Many people had started worshiping the false god, Baal, and God raised up this ordinary guy to do extraordinary things through him. And in 1 Kings, it tells us this. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. Now, that's not Snapchat, okay? I know when you're not used to that term, it kind of looks like that, doesn't it? But that's not what it says. It says Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and he ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him, and he went back, and he took his yoke of oxen, and he slaughtered them, and he burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah, and he became his servant. Now, what you see in that is someone with ridiculous faith. There's no way for him to turn back. He's just doing his job, and God calls him to a new place. Now, think about this for a minute. What would it be like to have Elisha's job? Every day you're looking at the same thing, and you're smelling the same thing. Let me give you a little visual here, okay? That's your view right there. Are you beginning to get the picture? Talk about a monotonous job. And so what's happening is that he's doing that every day. And then what happens is when he's called into the ministry, he burns the cows and burns the plows. He kills the cows and burns the plows. And that's what happens. So you see the visual here with the relationship with my job and his, right? He's cooking the meat, I'm cooking the meat. We got a monotonous job. We're just trying to serve the Lord day in and day out. And Elisha was faithful to the task at hand. I believe that God loves to reward those who are faithful in the little things. And when you and I are faithful in the little things, he says, now I know I can trust you with the bigger things. And he works in our lives in that way. And even though you might not have been, it might not have been your favorite thing to do, he was faithful to it. And in the middle of that faithful routine, Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Now, what in the world does that mean? He was saying, the covering that's on me, the mantle that's on me, God is going to place that on you now. You will be my student. I will be your mentor. And as God is working through me, now God is going to work through you. And he put his mantle or his covering upon him. Now, I want us to apply this story to our own lives. I want you to apply it to your life. I want you to see how God may call you to do something that's outside your comfort zone. He may challenge you to do something you never dreamed that you would do. You've never done it before. You don't feel worthy. You don't feel capable. And yet God is saying, yeah, I'm doing a new thing and I'm going to do it through you. So what I want us to see is two principles of ridiculous commitment. First, you don't have to obey fully to understand fully to obey immediately. You don't know everything about doing what you're getting ready to do. God hasn't given you any details, but that's all right. You just go ahead and do it. It says, Elisha then left his oxen. He ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. First, Elijah puts his cloak around him. Then Elisha says, okay, and he leaves the oxen there. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye. Then I will come with you. He didn't pray about it. He didn't have to formulate a list of pros and cons. He didn't consult a counselor because here's what he was saying. God, I believe that you are in this. I believe this is something you're calling me to do. And I want you to know that I'm willing to put the past behind me, step out on faith, and follow you wherever you want me to go. Even though I don't know the details, I'm going to be obedient immediately. I knew that God was calling me into the ministry. I didn't have all the answers, but I knew that there was no doubt that God was calling me, and it was easy for me to say yes. Here's the way that God will call you many times. He will call you to something that's big. Maybe it's too big that for you, in your mind to do, but it's something in general. But he won't give you all the details. He'll just give you the big call, and he'll say, now you take that and run with it, and then you have to respond. He's saying you can't handle the details. If I showed you all the details, you would give up. You wouldn't show up. He said, I'm just going to show you the next step and the next step and the next step. In the Old Testament, whenever God was giving Moses direction, he would summarize things in one word, Go. Just go and do what I've told you to do. Abraham, the same way. Abraham had to leave his family and friends. He had to leave the security of the income he would get from his family. He had to go, and he didn't know where he was going. And God just said, go, and I'll show you where to go. And that's what he did. In the New Testament, Jesus was walking on the water. Peter couldn't believe it. He looked at Jesus. He said, Lord, if that's you, call me to come to you, and I'll do it. He said, come. That's all he said. And Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water. Man, he'd never done that before. He didn't get to practice. He just answered the call. And Jesus may give you a one-word call. He may call on you to do something you never dreamed that he would want you to do. Maybe right now your marriage is struggling. You don't know what to do. And you're thinking about giving up. There's one word that he's going to say to you probably, and it's going to be, stay. Stay, because even though you don't see a way, I can make a way. And maybe God's got an answer there for you. And so you follow him. Maybe you've got a health condition and you've done everything you know to do and you don't know what to do anymore. And you're praying to God and God gives you a one word answer. He says, trust. And you say, okay, Lord, you know, you're the great physician. I'm just going to trust you. You take care of the details. Or maybe God plants an idea in your mind, and he wants you to do something with it, and you don't have all the bugs worked out yet, and you don't know how, and you don't know when, and you don't know where, and God just gives you a one-word answer, and he says, start. Just start where you are, and then we'll go from there. And so we don't have to understand everything to do what God is calling us to do. Some of you have been hanging around the church for a while, and you've started to grow with God, and you've really enjoyed your position of observing. You watch everybody else serve all the time, but you're just very comfortable where you are. And today, God may be saying to you, hey, commit. Wake up, do something in the church. I gave you these gifts for a purpose. I don't want you just to be on the sidelines as a spectator. I want you to be a participator. Get involved, get in the game, and commit. The second thing we see is those God uses the most are the ones who hold on to the least. You see, you just got to let go of everything else, and you got to step forward, and you got to trust God. You don't know the details. You don't know what he's going to ask you to do. It doesn't matter. He's God. He knows. He'll take care of it. First Kings says, so Elisha left him, went back. He took the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. So what's amazing there is he didn't waste any time. I mean, he didn't have a fallback plan. He didn't have a job that he could come back to. He had killed the animals now, and he had burned the plow. You know, when you burn the plow, you can't plow with it anymore, okay? And what did he do? He hung up his plow, and he said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. So I followed his example. And when God called me into the ministry and I was working at Hardee's, I hung up my spatula, and I haven't used it since. You can ask Laura, and she's grateful for that, okay? So what I want us to see is, you know, God calls us and we just go do what he says. Now, I didn't have a lot to give up. I moved to Florida. The preacher sold me his mother's old Buick. They had a furnished house for me next to the church. He got me two other part-time jobs. I was working three part-time jobs. But that's how I came. And what an amazing thing. You know, when the prodigal son came home, what happened? The father was so glad that the prodigal son came home that he sacrificed killed the fatted calf and sacrificed that calf. He said, hey, we're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate. My son who was lost is found. See, there is no plan B in God's agenda. When God does stuff, there's only plan A. And you can either be faithful and obedient and follow him, or you cannot be faithful and obedient and not follow him, because there's no other alternative. In Scripture, when people are moved by God, God calls them to do ridiculous things and follow him. When Jesus encountered Peter one time, Peter was having a bad day trying to fish. He wasn't catching anything. He came in worn out. He'd been fishing all night. Jesus said, cast your net on the other side. You know, I imagine Peter probably looked at him and said, who are you talking to? He said, this is what I do for a living. You do it at night. You don't do it in the daytime. Okay, but because you say so, I'll just do it. And he cast his net on the other side, and he caught so many fish, they were breaking the nets. He couldn't get them all into the boat. You see, Jesus knew who he was, and Jesus knew who Peter was. And he knew what he was going to do with Peter. He said, I'm going to teach you a new job. You're going to become a fisher of men. And Peter never had done that before. And you know what Peter said? I'm a sinful man, and you're the Lord. Don't even look at me. I mean, he recognized who Jesus was. But from then on, everything changed, and he followed Jesus. The Bible says that disciples left everything. Let me ask you a question. Could you leave everything and follow God? I mean, I left Tennessee. I left my family. I left my friends. I moved to Florida. I came down. I didn't know what was going to happen, but that's what God called me to do. It was easy for me. I didn't have a lot of stuff, but when I came down, sure enough, I answered that call. And God is going to speak to you today, and he's going to give you a burning plow faith if you will listen. Make sure he's speaking to you, but if it's him, answer the call and do what he's calling you to do. When you're convinced, hey, you can burn down the past because now you're stepping into the future. You can't go back when God is calling you forward. I heard about a family who loved the Lord and served him all the time. And in the summer, they would go to their lake house and they'd spend the summer there. And one day, his little 9-year-old girl, his daughter, came to him and said, Daddy, I want to ask you a question. Why do we love God and worship God and serve God only part of the time? Why don't we do that in the summer? And that dad got convicted. He didn't want to teach his little girl something that he didn't want her to believe. He sold the boat. He sold the lake house. He said, we're going to do this full time, all the time. We're going to be faithful to God. We're going to love him. We're going to serve him. And that's what they did. Now, it's not going to let something send an example to his daughter that was not what he wanted it to be. In 1519, Hernan Cortez landed in Veracruz. Hernan Cortez was a Spanish explorer. He landed in what is modern-day Mexico to begin his conquest. According to popular belief, he told the men to burn the ships. There's no going back. But really what happened was, the scholars say it was a little bit different than that. According to the scholars, he gave the crew orders to run the boats aground, physically strip the vessels of all rigging, sails, and weapons, and tackle, and using the materials from the boat and the timbers to build necessary houses for the crew. And then Cortez explained in his own writing that we are all in. There is no turning back. Is that your attitude today? Lord, I am all in. There is no turning back. There's no plan B for me to go back to. After dismantling all those ships, those men knew that they had to make it there or die. And so that's what they did. And they conquered the land together. I don't know what it would be in your life, but is there anything that's keeping you from serving God? Burn the plow. Is there any sin, any doubt, any relationship holding you back? Burn the plow. Don't let anything keep you from following God, because you don't have to understand everything fully to obey immediately. God uses people the most who are willing to give up everything and have the least. Some of you may be holding on to something today, maybe your security. Never forget that God calls us to step forward to our destiny and release what we think is our security. God may be calling you to do something greater than you're doing for His kingdom, because those whom God uses the most are those who hold on to the least. Let's pray together. Father, we pray today that You would build our faith. Build our faith in You. Build our faith in our own lives and our own opportunities and what You're calling us to do. Lord, build Your faith in the church, that corporately we might be the people that You've called us to be. Help us to recognize that things that look impossible are not impossible with You. And it is impossible for us to please You without faith. And Lord, I pray that we would follow You and that You would do the leading in us we need. Today, Lord, if we need to accept You as our Savior, I pray that we do that as we come to communion. Today, if we have a prayer concern, I pray that we would do that as we come to communion. And Lord, I pray that we would hear from You. And Lord, most importantly, I pray that we would be faithful and obedient to do what You've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now I'm going to invite those who are helping to serve communion today to come forward if they would. As they're preparing the elements, let me just say to you that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took some bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples. And He said, take, eat, this is My body. And then also He took the cup and He blessed it and He passed it out, said, take this and drink it. This is My blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. He said, do this in remembrance of Me. And so today we come. And as we accept this bread and this cup, we do that remembering that Jesus invites us to His table. Now, as He invites us, He calls on us to confess our sins to Him before we come. And so we confess. And then we come and we receive and we thank Him because He has given us eternal life. We have a relationship with Him now and forever if we know Him. And then once we do all that, because we've been with Him in church, because we've been in this place, we leave this place and we go out and we put that into practice. We go out, we don't know the details, but we go out and we serve God faithfully. And I want to challenge you to do that as well. Any money that you leave up here goes to the We Care Fund to help people in need. And every month you help us with that. And I want to thank you for it. Now, today is Senior Sunday. I talked to these seniors in the last service. And I said, you know, you can pray and you can ask God, what do you want you to do? And He'll answer your prayer. He'll tell you. He'll give you direction. When I was 21 years old, I prayed and I said, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And He answered, and He said, I want you to go into the ministry. When I was 21, when I was 23, I said, who do you want me to marry? And He sent me Laura, and that's who I married. 45 years ago, this December, He sent me the right one. And so what I'm saying to you is ask God, talk to Him. Share your heart because you're moving into a new situation. You're going to do things differently than you've ever done them before. You're not going to have the same people around you you've always had. And so I want to challenge you. Ask God, and I promise you, He'll answer. It may take a while. He always answers, but it's not always on your timetable. It'll be on His timetable. But I promise you, He will answer, and you will know. And so as the ushers direct you now, I invite you to come.